remember what I said, stay positive.
So let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like complaining about something recently? I mean, especially in this season of lockdown. I mean, if so, what? Take a moment and put it in the chat. As we look at this list, it's just interesting that there's lots that we can complain about, right? In fact, it's just amazing. There's actually on the social webs this story about the Karens, if you will, that show up at Starbucks. And there's all sorts of crazy videos of people that just haven't gotten their coffee quite right. And they go back through time and time again to get it right just because they want their skinny latte with a shot of vanilla and no caffeine. It's just, it's crazy. At the same time, it seems like there's just lots of complaining. What the weather looks like, right? Even the idea of how we're doing the precautions of thinking about going back to church. Some are saying there's too many. Some are saying there's not enough. Some of us are hating being at home. That's a strong word, but yeah, it's like we're just tired of this. We don't like being at work because our house is too small because of having to work at home, or maybe our house is too big and there's too much work to be done to take care of it. Even in the idea of our relationships, in our marriages, being single, or just raising our children, or even the kind of phone we have. And so not only do we want to bend the curve on the pandemic of this COVID-19, I also want to see how do we do the same thing with complaining, and the idea of how do we love each other better. And as I suggested last week, that I'm hoping that we can go back to a time that's better than the normal we had before, that we actually can see how much our God, the expectations our God has laid out for us, that he's working in every circumstance for our future good. Now, part of that, when we think about it, there's this idea of gratitude that I think really is where we need to center ourselves, both for what we've received and then also the idea what we can give to others. And so here are the words here of Paul to the church.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's Philippians 4:4-8.
So let's unpack this a little bit. Let's look into some of the Greek words that are here literally to get a context of how we should approach our lives. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So that word there, chero, is directly related to the concept of grace. And so we rejoice and look forward to the things that are going on in our world and in our lives, that we understand that it's God's favor working in us. And so we rejoice in that. And then Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, which, okay, that's a perspective, right? That we aren't on our own. We are not orphans. We're not abandoned. That God is close to us. And that's a concept that in the moments when life is complicated and in our complaining and our unsettledness of what is coming at us, we need to have that as a core foundational truth. And Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious. You ought to circle that word, about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made. So this word anxious is interesting because it actually, the Greek word there means to be pulled apart and opposed, as opposed to being something that's together, that we go into pieces, right? And yet at the same time, Paul's saying just before that, the Lord is at hand, so we shouldn't be anxious. We should ground ourselves in what we know to be true. And then he says that we approach this everything, not just some things, but everything, circle that, that yes, because it's because of God's grace that these amazing things happen for us and with us in our faith journey. Now, we see this word everything here. Paul used that back in Romans, is that we know that for those who love God, all things, everything works together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. And then finally, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting, this word peace is actually the opposite of the word that is used in the previous sentence about it being anxious. So there's a tension there. Peace is the quietness because of God's gift of wholeness. And so it's interesting that we need to see verse 6 as it's laid out before verse 7, that you can't get to 7 unless you stop in verse 6 and understand that that's why we aren't anxious, is because everything comes as the peace of God for us, and that it surpasses all the things that we understand and know. The prophet Isaiah says in chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, we also know, and it's kind of cheesy, and maybe you've seen the bumper sticker, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, know his peace. You know, this idea that no Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace. It's kind of cheesy, but it does get us this core understanding. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 8, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So we can talk about our finances, we can talk about our job, we can talk about our kids, we can talk about our aging parents, we can talk about our personal health, the economy, when will things come back, even the crazy murder hornets, I mean, all these things. And yet the things we're supposed to be spending our time on is really sitting on these ideas of what is true and honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and are worthy of praise. Now, I just want to lean into a story here that's from Corrie ten Boom. And I don't know if you know that name. She and her sister, along with other family members, her story is, it was the book, The Hiding Place. There was actually a movie made on it. And so in her one chapter in The Hiding Place, she talks about how she thanked God for the fleas. And so, listen.
Betsy and Corrie ten Boom spent time in notorious Ravensbrück concentration camp north of Berlin for hiding Jews in their home during the Nazi occupation in Holland. The ten Boom family of Haarlem, Holland were watchmakers by trade. They also lived as devout Christians. Corrie was raised to understand that honoring God, including respecting the Jewish people. Here is Corrie ten Boom's famous story of Betsy and the fleas from the hiding place. Barracks 28. We lay back, struggling against the nausea that swept over us from the reeking straw. Suddenly, I sat up, striking my head on the cross slats above. Something had pinched my leg. Please, I cried, Betsy, the place is swarming with them. Here, and here, another one, I wailed. Betsy, How can we live in such a place? Show us how. It was said so matter-of-factly, it took me a second to realize she was praying. More and more, the distinction between prayer and the rest of life seemed to be vanishing for Betsy. Come, she said excitedly. He's given us the answer. And before we asked, as he always does, in this Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. I glanced down the long dim aisle to make sure. No guard was in sight. And then I drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians, I said. We were on our third complete reading of the New Testament since leaving Scheveningen. I think that's how you say it. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. It seemed written expressly for Ravensbrück. Go on, said Betsy, that wasn't all. Oh yes, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corey. That's the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her. And then around me at the dark, foul-aired room. Such as, I said, such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Such as what you're holding in your hands. I looked down at the Bible. Yes, thank you, dear Lord, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all these women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy. Thank you for the very, very crowding here, since we are so packed so close. The many more will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Come, she prodded. Oh, all right. Thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy said sincerely, for the fleas and for the fleas? Oh, this was too much. Betsy, there's no way ever God can make me grateful for the fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. Back at the barracks, we formed yet another line. Would there ever be never be an end to columns and weights to receive the ladle of turnip soup in the center of the room. Then, as quickly as we could for the press of people, Betsy and I made our way to the rear of the dormitory room where we held our worship service. Around our own platform area, there was not enough light to read the Bible. But back there, a small light bulb cast a wan yellow circle against the wall. And here, an ever larger group of women gathered. They were services like no other. these times in Barracks 28. At first, Betsy and I called these meetings with great timidity. But as night after night went by, and no guard ever came near us, we grew bolder. So many now wanted to join us, that we held a second service after the evening roll call. There, on the Lagerstrasse, we were under rigid surveillance, guards in their warm wool capes marching constantly up and down. It was the same in the center room of the barracks, half a dozen guards or camp police always present. Yet in the large dormitory room, there was almost no supervision at all. We did not understand it. One evening, I got back to the barracks late from a wool gathering foray outside the walls. A light snow lay on the ground, and it was hard to find the sticks and twigs with such a small stove was kept going in each room. Betsy was waiting for me, as always, so that we could wait in the food line together, and her eyes were twinkling. You're looking extraordinarily pleased with yourself, I said. You know, we've never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room, she said. Well, I figured it out. That afternoon, she said, there'd been some confusion in her knitting group about shoe sizes, and they'd asked the supervisor to come in and settle it. But she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door. And neither would the guards. And do you know why? Betsy could not keep the triumph from her voice. Because of the fleas. That's what they said. That place is crawling with fleas. My mind rushed back to our first hour in this place. I remember Betsy's head bowed. I remembered her thanks to God for creatures I could see no use for.
So it's interesting, Barracks 28 at Ravensbrück was known as the, quote, crazy place where women have hope, unquote, and hope that they had a living hope. And so as we think about our own circumstances, that we have hope in the midst of darkness, that we have hope in the midst of persecution, that these women, much like we should today, have hope in the midst of unimaginable things. Many of the women in the Barracks 28 knew and believed, and Corey actually said this, there is no pit so deep that his, God's love, is not deeper still. And so as we looked at before at the conclusion of the book of Romans, chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So in the week ahead, lean into being grateful. In every circumstance, lean into the opportunities that God presents you with the fleas in your life. Because it is an attitude, and it's something we have to practice and practice and practice again. And so as I said at the front end about how we're going to lean into opening up the building, as we begin moving towards that, it's going to be a little inconvenient for some. And at the same time, we have an incredible opportunity to love people well as Christ has loved. So the question for you for the week ahead is, how can you start practicing gratitude this week in new and fresh ways? Annie Stanley says, when gratitude is not expressed, it's the same as being ungrateful. And so take a moment today and reach out to somebody. Send a text message or make a phone call or even write a letter. Send a card to tell someone how grateful you are for them and show their your gratitude for them. I want to close this time of worship with a song that I believe is going to become the anthem of this current season. It's called The Blessing. From Lynn and I, we had the privilege of hearing Carrie and Cody lead this 65,000 young people in the Mercedes Dome in January. And I believe the words that are written here, the words that are offered, are a blessing that we should receive. And so as we sing it together, may these words cover you. But to be reminded that in one of the beautiful threads that comes out of this song is this idea that it's not just for us and now, that it's actually for generations ahead, the children of the children of the children, they say. And so actually this song is the ancient blessing of Aaron from the Old Testament. And it's one that now we need to speak into the lives. And out of it comes gratitude for the life that we have, the grace that we have, the mercy that we have. And so go forward and serve Christ this week. May these words encourage you, because you've been blessed to be a blessing. Amen. You've been blessed to be a blessing. Have a great week.